then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. We can identify with that. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here ends the reading of God's word. His blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word to us, and I pray that you would quiet our hearts before you this morning, take away all the distractions from our heart and mind that the enemy likes to place there before us, and take them from our mind, Lord, that we can hear you and we can focus in on you in this holy moment that you brought us to. Lord, you brought us together this morning to worship you, to hear your word, for your Spirit, Lord, to stir and to speak in our hearts today. So, Lord, give us ears to hear from you. Speak through your word and be glorified through your Son and through your word this morning. And I ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you like science? Anybody? Science was always one of my favorite subjects in school. I hated math. I stunk at it, but usually math and science go together, but I did love science. And this morning we're going to start our sermon with a little science exhibit up here. And a couple people walked in and they saw this and they said, "What's that all about? What's going to happen?" And I said, "We just have to find out." So we're going to have a little science exhibit here to help us introduce the sermon this morning. And I got some good old Alka-Seltzer. Everybody remember the Alka-Seltzer commercial, plop, plop, fizz, fizz, what a relief it is. Well, I got some Alka-Seltzer, and I'm going to drop it into this first pitcher of water up here. We're going to see what happens. Can you see what's going on? It's starting to bubble, it's starting to fizz. And eventually, it might boil over and complete. That's why I have a pan here. But it's getting a chemical reaction, and it's causing the reaction within the water. I got another Alka-Seltzer here. I'm going to drop it in this one. Let's see what happens here. Can you see what's happening there? Nothing. But this one, I'll hold it up for you. You can see the reactions going on. This one here, nothing's happening. What's the difference? What? I took it out of the package. You can say both of these have the Alka-Seltzer in them, right? There's Alka-Seltzer in both of those. But there's only one that's really having the reaction and the power. That's how it is in the Holy Spirit in our life. When we are saved, every believer has the Holy Spirit present in us. But you know, the Holy Spirit isn't active in all of us. And sometimes we wonder, why are we given to doubt? Why are we given to fear? Why are we given to discouragement? Why do I have a hard time forgiving that person? Why do I get bitter or angry? The Holy Spirit's living there in us. He's residing in you and me if we're a believer. But if we don't allow him to do his work, if we're not filled with him, he's not going to be active in our life. He's present, but he's not active. This morning, we want to focus in as we continue our series on being the Spirit-filled life, what it means to be filled with the Spirit. And as being filled with the Spirit, I got a question for you. Remember, we want to get a little more interactive here. Is being filled with the Holy Spirit a one-time experience to be prayed for, or is it to be an ongoing relationship? What do you think? Ongoing, yes. It's not something that happens once. Last week, we talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That when we are saved, we are baptized with the Holy Spirit. We receive him. He comes into our life at the moment of salvation. And every believer is baptized with the Holy Spirit and receives him. But not every believer is filled with the Holy Spirit. And you would say, "What? How can I be filled with the Spirit? What does that mean? How can I have a Spirit-filled life?" Well, that's what Paul addresses in Ephesians as we look together in the scripture passage before us this morning. Five characteristics that we're going to discover this morning of what it means to have a Spirit-filled life. And you and I can know if the Holy Spirit is filling you, controlling you in our life by these characteristics that will be produced in us. Whether the Alka-Seltzer has been taken out of the package or whether the Alka-Seltzer is still there but not active. Whether he's present in our life but not active within us. So let's go to the word of the God together and then look what Paul has to say to us in Ephesians and to the church. What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit, the characteristic of a Spirit-filled life? The first one is to be filled. It means to be filled with his presence so that there's no room for anything else. Look what he says in verse 18. He says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." That word fill, it's a command. Notice he says be filled. It's not optional. But he's calling us as Christians to be filled with the Holy Spirit, a continuing thing, not once and done, but it's a repeated action. And to be filled with the Spirit, that word in the Greek, the command is a continuous completeness. It's a present tense, which means it's something that should be going on and on and on in our life, ongoing. And it means to be sealed and dwelled and baptized by the Spirit are ways of describing the Spirit's role in your salvation. We looked at that last week. But being continually filled to the brim is a vital continuous part of our sanctification, of our Christian growth. And that word "be filled" there means to be filled up to the brim, to be brought up to the top, that the Holy Spirit would be so much in control of our life that our life is full to the brim and running over. What that means, it means to be filled with his presence in our lives so there's no room for anything else. So in order to be filled, you have to be emptied. So I have another scientific experiment down here for you. Got another pitchers, and got a pitcher of water. I'm going to pour it in this one. And as I try to pour it in this one, I can't completely fill it up because I don't know if you can see it, but there are things in here that's taking up space. But this one's completely empty, and I can fill it completely to the top and to the brim because there is nothing competing, nothing taking up the space, and the water can go to the full top. This one, I can't because there's things in here. And let's see what's in here. I got a ball. I say, "What's this?" This can represent our hobbies, our interests. Nothing wrong with ball, nothing wrong with sports, those things in our life, but they can consume us, can't they? They can become more important than Jesus, and they can take up space to keep us from being filled with the Spirit. Paradise. That can represent our interest, our games, things we like to do and fun and pleasure. Nothing wrong with some of those things, but again, if they can consume us and take up the space from being filled with the Spirit. In the bottom, I got a whole bunch of rocks. And these rocks represent the things that weigh us down. Things like doubt, fear, unforgiveness, worry, bitterness, unconfessed sin. All those things are in there, and they keep us from being filled with the Spirit. And there's a candle in here. And notice the candle is not lit. It's wet, but it's not lit. It's because it couldn't be, because all these other things in here kept the light from shining. And when those things get in our life, can crowd out the fullness of being filled with the Spirit. So to be filled, friends, we have to be emptied. We have to be emptied of ourselves. We got to be emptied of those things that are occupying where the Holy Spirit should be, because a principle of physics, simple principle of physics, says two things of matter cannot occupy the same space at the same time. And so the Holy Spirit has to place those places. We got to get rid of those things. So I asked this morning, really the Lord asks, what do you need to be emptied of this morning? What do you need to be emptied of so that the Lord can fill you? Is it pride? Is it bitterness? Is it self-centeredness? Is it doubt? Is it fear? Is it anxiety? Is it unforgiveness, anger, resentment, or some sin that we haven't dealt with? All those things have to be dealt with in our life in order to be filled. Sin and self need to go so that the Holy Spirit can fill us to the brim and nothing else competing. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Let's hear the words of Jesus. Matthew 6, 24. When Jesus was teaching about this very thing on the Sermon on the Mount, and he talked about our relationship with him, and here he's talking about treasures and what's important, where our heart is. 6:24 says, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. He said, you cannot serve both God and money. I mean, you can't serve God and something else. We can't be devoted to the Lord and something else. There can't be rivalry there. God is a jealous God, and that simply means that he is jealous for our full affection, for our full devotion. He doesn't want anything to rival that. James chapter 4, verse 4. Listen to what Jesus says, and you can turn there and what James writes. Turn with me there, James chapter 4, verse 4. James said to the church, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. So those things in our life, 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17, John goes on to identify those things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Those things that we desire, the things that attract us to the world, and he said those things are all going to pass away. But if those are more important to us, not that anything's wrong with some of those things, but if they are more important to us and occupying the space that is reserved for the Lord and the Holy Spirit, we aren't filled. To be filled, we need to be emptied. And to be filled with the Spirit is not about getting more of the Holy Spirit. We received the Holy Spirit when we were saved. The moment you were saved, you received all the Holy Spirit. The Alka-Seltzer is there. It's not receiving any more of him. It's not a second work. It's not something where and the Holy Spirit comes on us later. No, we receive all of him. But being filled with the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit receiving all of us. It's those things that we still have yielded back to him and say, Lord, you can have it all. Take complete possession of my life, yielding our life to his control. It's about every Christian is indwelt with the Spirit, but not every Christian is filled with the Spirit. We have the Spirit, but the Spirit doesn't have us. So a Spirit-filled life is to be filled with his presence so that there's no room for anything else. Secondly, well, Andrew Murray had said that being filled with the Spirit is simply this: having my whole nature yielded to his power, and when the whole soul was yielded to the Holy Spirit, God himself will fill it. So our prayer this morning is, Lord, empty me of me so I can be filled with you. And that should be all of our prayer this morning, Lord. Empty me of me, whatever is standing in the way, whatever I need to be emptied of, so I can be filled with more of you. And that's where we need to be. Second, to be filled with the Spirit means to be filled with his power so that we will not lack what we need. That we will not lack anything we need. We go back to Ephesians chapter 5 again. And Paul in that command, verse 18, says to be filled with the Spirit Not to be drunk on wine, to be filled with the Spirit. And that word filled again in verse 18, not only does it mean to be filled to the top, but it also means to fill abundantly, to completely furnish, to fill up to the top so that nothing will be lacking. And so when the Holy Spirit is in control of our life and filling us, we are filled to the top so that nothing is lacking. We're not lacking anything that we need. We have the abundant supply from the Lord to live successfully for Him. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1 and Colossians chapter 2, where he said this in Colossians chapter 2, verses 9. Just go back a book, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So just go back to get to chapter 2 and verse 9 and 10. Paul was writing this church to the church of Colossians who thought that they were missing something. And he was trying to tell them they have fullness, all the fullness. When you have Jesus, we have everything we need. And he says, for in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is over every head, every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised. But in him we have all the fullness that we need through Christ. And Ephesians chapter 1, if you would turn with me there to verse 15. And look what Paul said in the back to the book we're in. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. This was Paul's prayer to the church. And he said, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering in your prayers. And I keep asking that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you may know him better. And I pray that the eyes of your heart may be opened, that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in saints, and his incredibly great power for us who believe. And that power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand. There you can see how the Holy Spirit and the power are tied together. And Paul's prayer for the church was that we would understand the power of the Holy Spirit, its work within us, that we lack nothing that we need. Psalm 23 says, the Lord, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall lack nothing. We have all that we need. And you say, but Dan, I just can't forgive that person for what they've done to me. I just can't let it go. You don't know how bad, you don't know what they said to me. I just can't forgive it. I just can't let it go. And when we have that attitude, friends, we're not Spirit-filled. Because if the Holy Spirit is in control in our life, you're right, we cannot. In our flesh, we can't. But Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. But Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And what that kind of, when we have that kind of attitude, where it's an indication we're not filled with the Spirit. A Spirit-filled believer, when the Spirit will fill us, he gives us the power that we need to forgive. He gives us the power that we need that we don't have within ourselves to love those who are hard to love. To let go of those things in our past that still are painful to us. He gives us the power to be patient when it's hard. He gives us the power to control our temper and our tongue. And we can't do that in our flesh. But when the Holy Spirit's power is filling you and me, he gives us the power to do what we cannot do on our own. So when those things aren't happening, and it's an indication, Lord, you need to fill me again. Because I've lost it. I can't do it without you. So to be filled means to be filled with his power so that we won't lack what we need. We have that power to live. Third characteristic of a Spirit-filled life means to be filled with his purpose so that we will walk in obedience. Let's go back to Hebrews, back to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 18. And Paul says, be very careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, but instead be filled with the Spirit. That be filled is a present indicative imperative, means it's a command, not option. And it means to be filled with his purpose so that we walk in obedience. That means understanding what his will is, what his purpose is. And he tells us here, or his purpose is to be filled with the Spirit. That's his purpose and will. And to understand that, not to be drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. That word debauchery, as I looked it up, it means to be a prodigal, wasteful, lustful, living for pleasure, living for the things of this world. So we, in order to walk in obedience and be filled with the Spirit, we need to be under, to be influenced and controlled by the Spirit. And a person who is filled with the Spirit is under the control and influence of the Holy Spirit in our life. And he links being drunk with wine to being filled with the Spirit. You may say, but why did Paul make a comparison? And he's using the picture here because when a person is drunk with wine, they're under the influence and control of the Spirit. And they lose, and they do things they wouldn't normally do on their own. And they're under the influence of that substance. And he's saying that's how it is in our life. When we become filled with the Holy Spirit, we're under his influence and control. And he enables us to do what we couldn't normally do on our own, like forgive, show grace, kindness, and love. And the fruit of his Spirit that are produced in us whenever he is filling us and in control. Turn with me to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. And look what Paul said about that walking in the Spirit. Galatians is right before Ephesians. So you're going to turn back towards beginning New Testament one book. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. He says, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Living by the Spirit, walking by him, keeping in step with him. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit is what is contrary to the nature, and they're in conflict with each other, so they don't do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. Then he goes on to say, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, and on, hatred, discord, fits of rage, selfish ambition, all of those things. And when those things are being shown in our life, it's an indication we're not being filled by the Spirit. We're not walking in obedience to him. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And when those things are being evidenced in our life, it's evident that we are under his influence. We are under his control. We're in obedience, walking to him and living in accordance with his will. And his will has been made known to be filled with the Spirit. And understand, he said, understand what God's will is so we know how to live. And letting his Holy Spirit fill us and guide us with his purpose for our life to live according to him and by walking in his Spirit. When we are filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, we are filled with the whole purposes of God. And God is the one who enables us both to want and to act and to live out his good purpose and his will. Fourth, to be filled with the Spirit means to be filled with his passion so that we will grow spiritually. As we go back to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, he says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, but instead be filled with the Spirit. That word fill also means to make full or to bring to completion. It carries with it that idea of bringing something to a completion, maturity, fullness. And when the Holy Spirit is filling our life, he's bringing us to that point of maturity and fullness and completion. Again, friends, every Christian is indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Every Christian has the Alka-Seltzer in them. But not, and we can understand this, but not every Christian is and has the same degree and level of spiritual maturity and growth. We're all in different areas of our walk. Not everybody is as mature as in the Lord as on one another. We all have struggles we face. And the difference is the work of the Holy Spirit within us. Whether we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us and us yield and listen to his voice and walk in him, or whether we're going to go our own way. Because the Holy Spirit will speak to us and direct us through the word, and we either put ourselves in line with that and not quench him or not grieve him, or we can reject him and walk in disobedience and go our own way. And it's so the Christian growth comes by how we yield to the Spirit. And so by being filled with his passion, that love and passion for Christ, remember Jesus says, if you love me, you will what? Keep my commands. If you love me, you will do that, not out of compulsion, not out of fear, as I was raised, not out of legalism, we have to keep all these rules and standards. No, it's out of love for Christ and a passion for him. And out of that love and passion for him, we walk in obedience and we grow closer to the Lord and grow in him. And the Holy Spirit enables us to do that. So having a deeper passion so that we will grow spiritually. And the Bible states that there are two kinds of Christians. Spiritual Christians, and the other word he uses is carnal or fleshly Christians. Both are saved. Both are going to go to heaven. But God wants us to know him better and to walk more deeply with him under his Spirit. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we see that as Paul was saying to the church in Corinth, which had an awful lot of problems. The church in Corinth had division, it had sin, it had a lot of issues. And I've heard people say it had more issues than Reader's Digest. But it had a lot of issues. And Paul was writing to them in verses 1 to 4 and says, brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly. He's talking to Christians here. I cannot address you as spiritual, but worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. And indeed, you are still not yet ready. You are still worldly, but since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? For one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos. Are you not acting like mere men? And jump down to verse 10. For by the grace God gave me, has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But everyone should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any other foundation that is laid other than what has already been laid, that is Jesus Christ. And if any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light, and it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. But yet he himself will be saved, we're believers. But only as one escaping through the flames. But then verse 16 brings it all. Here's the kicker. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit is living in you? And so as Paul was talking about those two different kinds of believers, he said, the Holy Spirit's in you. You're his temple. Now live like it. Build your life on the foundation. Grow deeper. Seek to be more spiritual, not more worldly. And seek that Christian growth in him. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, Paul writing to the church there says, don't put out the Spirit's fire. That when the Spirit is speaking to us, listen to him. Let his fire burn us. We talked about that work of conviction a while ago. But whenever he does his work in us, yield to that. Let his fire burn blaze and bright and make that fat passion in us so we will grow deeper. And fifth, a Spirit-filled life is to be filled with his praise so that we will honor his name. As we go back to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 19, he says, speak with one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we are filled with his Spirit, our hearts are filled with praise and gratitude for who he is and what he's done. And we'll live our life in glory to him. With our lips, he says, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart, giving thanks to the Lord. With our praise to the Lord that comes out of a heart that is full of the Holy Spirit, that is lifting up in praise and gratitude to him. But also with our life. As we go to Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, Paul said again, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach one another with all wisdom and sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart to God. But then he says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him, living out our life. So our life and our lips should be a gratitude, a praise to the living out and honoring him in our life, being filled with the Spirit. So Paul says, be filled with the Spirit. It's not a command. It's not an option. It's a command. The Holy Spirit is in our life, but the Alka-Seltzer has to be taken out of the package. We have to allow him to do his work. We have to yield to him, yield to his Spirit so he can fill us, and that's an ongoing thing. That's our progressive growth and sanctification. So I ask you this morning, where is your tank? Is it empty or is it full? Sometimes our spiritual tank is empty and we're running on empty. And have you ever been there where you're running on empty? When you do, you know. Life is a bore. It's hard. And we need to have the Holy Spirit to fill us again, empty us of ourselves, and fill us with him so that he's in the driver's seat of our life. His force is energizing us. His power is energizing us and enabling us to live in victory. So our prayer this morning is, fill me, Holy Spirit. Fill me anew and afresh. Empty me of myself. Take out of my life whatever is occupying that space that is reserved for you. Empty me of myself so I can be full of you. Fill me with your power so I have power to live in victory and effectiveness for you. Fill me with your joy and praise and a life of gratitude. And fill me with your passion so that I will walk in obedience to you. That's God's calling for us this morning. Don't be drunk with wine. That leads to debauchery. That leads to living in the wrong way. But instead, be filled with the Spirit. And that leads to a life of joy. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the work of your Spirit within us. And Lord, we as saved people have received your Holy Spirit. You baptized us with your Spirit at the moment of salvation, and we received all of you. But there's times, Lord, that you haven't received all of us. We hold back, we hold on to things. Sometimes our self gets in the way. Our pride, our arrogance, our self-centeredness, our will. Some of those things may not even be bad things, hobbies, things we enjoy, but when they become more important to you than you and they crowd you out, and those other things in our life that we fill into our life that doesn't allow you to fill us to the brim with you, Lord, then it becomes a problem in our life that keeps us from being filled totally with you and being filled continuously with your Spirit. So Lord, empty us of ourselves, that we may be filled with you. Fill us with your passion, with that passion and love for you that gives us that desire to walk in obedience. Fill us with your praise and gratitude for your grace shed in us through Jesus and redeeming us from darkness and sin and giving us eternal life for joy with you. And Lord, may our life be lived in praise and thanksgiving and gratitude for your goodness and grace. And so, Lord, that's our prayer this morning. Fill us anew and afresh with your Spirit. Give us the power. Fill us with your power so that we're not lacking anything that we need. So that we can forgive those who are hard to forgive. So we can let go of those things in the past that are painful. So that we can let go of our bitterness and our anger and our resentment. Lord, in our flesh we can't, but with your Spirit we can. So give us the power that we need, Lord, so we're not lacking anything. Fill us to the top, full and overflowing with your Spirit this morning. Anew and afresh. That's our prayer. Empty of us ourselves and fill us with you. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.